GM, GM. All right, let's get this community AMA started. Hope everyone's doing all right in these choppy times. I'm a bit under the weather. Maybe you can tell by my voice, but should be fine. Yeah, we have a bunch of questions lined up, so I'm just gonna get straight into them. So the first question we have is from Lord Lube. He asks, curious to get an update on how the competitive landscape looks like for Livinity. Yeah, so the competitive landscape largely hasn't changed, especially like since the last time I updated on this, which was last month. There haven't been any major changes. There was a major change a month or so ago, when Open Book started to create markets with zero fees. So the spreads got narrower on those markets. And that means greater competition, particularly for Sol USDC volume. When a single competitor lowers their spread, then to continue to be competitive, other market makers or AMMs or LPs on AMMs also have to narrow their spreads to remain competitive. And so it's kind of a race to the bottom. But it works fairly well as long as like no single individual lowers their fees too much. If everyone can just stay at a nice level of fees, then that works out best for us. But yeah, any individual can unilaterally decide to just lower their fees. So yeah, I mean, like, this dynamic has been a thing for a long time. If you look at it over a long time horizon, I think fees have just gradually decreased, or maybe not gradually. It's not like it's a steady decline, but there's been like jumps over time, jumps downward that decrease the fees. Yeah, so that was like the main thing with regards to the competitive landscape. How things have changed there. Other than that, it's just business as usual, relative to like AMMs. Yeah, and we've had to put in some work to like re-optimize the pools to match like the new market conditions. So that's something we continue to do. But yeah. I think I also wrote some like explanations in the chat. I forgot when exactly related to this. Maybe like a couple weeks ago or something. But yeah, that's where we are. All right, next question we have Pareto General asks, sorry I haven't kept up to date much with Livinity, but I wanted to ask, since the current model seems to be working so well, will it be expanded to other pools? Maybe Whiff or Bonk. Also, some way to profit from all the meme coin volume or volumes on deep end coins. Yeah, so these are actually all things we already do. We have a Whiff pool, we have a couple Bonk pools, we have a couple HNT pools. I guess at one point we also had a Render pool. But yeah, I think maybe you in particular don't know if you haven't been keeping up, but we've had to we've had to stop using Pyth's Oracle since they moved to the pull model because it's essentially too slow for us. And so all the oracles that we use for our pools right now are run by ourselves. But because of that, that means fewer pools are possible. Running an Oracle does have a cost because you're frequently updating prices on chain. And so the revenue you can expect to generate has to like reach a certain level for you to even begin considering running an Oracle for it. So yeah, that's why fewer pools are now viable, unfortunately. But yeah, WIF and Bonk and HMT are ones that are profitable enough to make it worth it. So we have those. Of course, we're, still always open to opening new pools. So yeah, we're always on the lookout for new tokens. Right now we just started reaching out to PayPal because it would be cool if we could do a incentivized SOL PYUSD pool. We can probably get them the deepest liquidity for the least amount of incentives just because of our capital efficiency. But yeah, first we have to get in touch with them. Trying to find the right channel to reach them right now. And then we'll see what they say. But from what we can tell, like they seem very conducive to providing incentives and ongoing incentives for various DeFi activities using PYUSD. So yeah, there's a good chance that could work out, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Anyways, I kind of went off from your question. But yeah, I think I answered it. Yeah. Let us know if you have new ideas. To get an idea of like whether it'd be viable, like you can check their liquidity and volume on BirdEye and then compare those with the volume and liquidity of other tokens that we have live right now. In particular, like the lower ones, because those are closer to the lower bound of what we need for a pool to be viable. So you can look at like WIF or Bonk or HNT, Ray, Jupe, tokens like that. And yeah, that should give you a good idea. All right. Next question we have from Henry. He asks, Hydreton, can you detail the problems you've had opening the JLP pool on SandGlass and what approximate new schedule we can expect for the new SandGlass pools? Yeah, so let me refresh my memory. The issue with the JLP pool was purely on our side. So initially we saw like a spike in the APY and we weren't sure what caused that. And the same wasn't reflected in JLP's APY displayed on their website. So yeah, we were like we weren't sure what the issue was, but we looked into it. And the issue was on our side, which is actually a good thing, because if it was on JLP's side, that would be a lot more scary. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't think it's really meaningful to get into like the nitty-gritty of what exactly the error was. But basically, we had an error in our code, and yeah, that was resulting in a fallacious APY. So once we figured that out, we fixed the error and then began testing. And the thing with testing is Jupiter doesn't update the APY very frequently. So we have to like match that, or like, we have to. So it takes like some time to see a number of updates, enough updates for us to be able to like confirm that things are working fine. So yeah, I think when we expect the testing to be done, will be this coming Wednesday. So that's when we'll know, like we can make a decision as to whether we think things are working as we expect them. And if they are, then we should be able to open the pool soon after. So yeah, that's exciting. Finally getting JLP, which is a much requested pool. So definitely glad that I can finally be getting that out. Yeah, at the fastest next week. Possibly next week, but yeah, that's the approximate expectation for the timeline right now. Right, next we have TMS. They ask, what is the team currently mainly working on? Yeah, so working on a few things. One, I mentioned already, the Sol USDC pool optimizations. We're redoing that due to the changed market conditions. Another is SandGlass. JLP is, yeah, the one we've been testing, but other than that, we've also worked on MarginFi, Solend, and Kamino's CUSDC tokens, so USDC deposits on their respective platforms. Yeah, one unfortunate thing is that none of the teams agreed to integrate their points system with SandGlass natively. So if they did, what that would mean is like when people use SandGlass, they'll still see themselves receiving points on the respective platforms. It's like you deposit USDC into the Kamino vault on SandGlass, and then you'd see on Kamino's site that you're getting points for that. But they've all essentially said like it's too much work. So what that means is that it's not like a huge deal per se, but what happens instead is that we deposit on each Borrowland protocol on behalf of the user when they deposit into SandGlass. So SandGlass is basically just like a proxy user that stands in place for everyone, and then we get all those points, and then at maturity we can distribute to YT holders whatever those points become worth in tokens, pro rata, of course. So yeah, that's like okay, but it can have downsides. One of the main ones that comes to mind is if they don't do a linear distribution and they do it like tiered or something, which will like probably cap the max amount. Like the whole point of the tiered approach, and what probably the main one is like so that they don't give quote unquote too much to whales, and the people with less assets get more than their pro rata share of tokens relative to points. So if they do that, because we're a single vault aggregating like a ton of users, naturally we'll end up like in a high tier likely. But that ultimately means that the tokens YT holders will get nerfed for no good reason really. Because it like they're not sibyls, it's just a bunch of users depositing into a single account. But yeah, so that's how it'll work. Let's see. Yeah, so that's another thing. Another thing we're working on is Eclipse. So we've began deployment on Eclipse. It turns out Eclipse is kind of like the early days of Solana, where development is a bit difficult. So there's kind of a lack of basic tooling and stuff. And so I believe right now we're waiting on them to release Something. I forgot what exactly, but yeah. So yeah, eclipse is another thing. I think those are the main things. Lifinity, Sandglass, Eclipse. All right, next question by TMS is, are there any plans to make use of the idle assets outside of Sandglass? Yeah, so the main one is Eclipse. Like on Eclipse, we'll just do like the same thing that we do on Solana with Lifinity. And eventually Sandglass as well. Yeah, so how much of the assets we deploy there will be highly dependent on the volumes on Eclipse. So there's really no way for us to know yet at this point, but hopefully a lot. But yeah, a lot of that is up to like factors that are totally out of our control. So we'll see. And then final question from TMS. When do you expect a significant update for Sandglass? That is, updates that push TVL revenue, etc. So I'm personally excited for the JLP pool. I'm curious to see how much use it'll get. I think it does have like a very clear use, and there should be a lot of people that would like to use it. Think it's a question of, are the people aware? Will it be easy for them to learn? Yeah, so that would be like interesting to see with the JLP pool. And then the CUSDC vaults for the Borrowland protocols as well. Like both JLP and those CSDC tokens have fairly volatile APYs, unlike our current vaults of liquid staked SOL tokens, which are quite stable. So yeah, hopefully that will give a push to TVL. Yeah, that's the next thing on the radar. All right, next question we have from Lon Fust. Do we have an explanation for the fall of Lifinity despite the buyback? So one thing to mention is we stopped buybacks a month ago because that's what the community voted on. But I think the price was falling even before we stopped the buybacks. So I don't think it's too relevant of a factor. I mean, price falling just means like people are selling, right? So, let's think about the time when we were doing buybacks. That just simply means that there's more people selling than there are, or than there are people buying, plus the protocol itself buying back its tokens. I don't know who they are. I don't really care. I've never looked into it. Could be like people who have been unlocking for 4 years and just gradually selling their stacks. Could be like newcomers from when that viral, maybe not viral, that big YouTube video was released on Lifinity. Excuse me. My throat is killing me. Yeah, so I mean, I don't have an explanation other than like there are more sellers than there are buyers. Yeah. Sorry if that's not very satisfactory, but I think that is almost always the truth when you look at price movements in markets. It's usually not possible to determine a single or even multiple factors that lead to some price movement. All right, next question is from Norbert. Are you considering any other SVMs to the deploy? Not yet. We're certainly open to it, but like I think isn't Eclipse like the most mature as far as I know? Like they're the furthest along in their roadmap. Like I've seen some other SVMs on Twitter, but they seem quite early. So yeah, definitely open to it, but certainly no rush at the moment, and I don't think they're even ready. So yeah. GM J Sweats. Oh, listening to us in a meeting. I love the way you think. Don't get fired though. All right. Next, we have Epromenon. Some questions related to Sandglass. Number one, what is your take on the restaking protocols that recently launched on Solana? For example, Solayer, Renzo, Allstake, etc. Since they're offering additional yield sources, will their liquid stake tokens be good options for Sandglass? Yeah, I believe so. And I've already reached out to Solayer quite a while ago. And another. Oh, yeah, Picasso. Also to Picasso a while ago. And I think they basically said, let's chat again once we get audited. And we are planning to start the audit in September. We really wanted to include the code for a bunch of these new pools, new vaults, before getting the audit. So this JLP and all the CUSDC pools. Yeah, that's why the audit was being held off until now. But yeah, hopefully all these vaults can be launched very soon, and then we can go ahead with the audit. But anyways, that's not your question. Back to restaking protocols. What do I think of them? I think it might have been last month's AMA where I also talked about this, but basically, my current take is that it seems difficult to see like where the yield come from, like where's the demand for using restaking for security. At least like that's the narrative for restaking on Ethereum. So that was my understanding for a long while. Recently, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Solayer that they wrote this thread explaining how they are differentiated from that approach or use case. Instead that they're trying to instantiate bandwidth markets. To be honest, I haven't like thought extremely deeply about this or anything. So, yeah, I don't have a super well-formed opinion yet, to be honest. But I thought that was interesting, and it certainly sounded more viable than like restaking for chain security. So yeah, that was good to see that like things got a little more interesting with regards to restaking. Renzo, I believe they partnered with Jito. I also haven't like looked into super deeply at that yet. But yeah, like generally speaking, I think like SoundGlass is a very good fit for restaking, because restaked tokens probably won't have a ton of liquidity for trading. Like trading isn't going to be like their main use case, but they do have yield, so speculating on their yield, I think, can make a lot of sense. Just like it did on Pendle, like they had a bunch of restaked assets, and that generated a lot of volume for them. So, yeah, hoping that we can follow a similar trajectory. Although, the one unfortunate thing is that it seems like a lot of that volume was dependent on the points craze. And points, while not dead, are definitely much less exciting than they were at one point. So maybe we won't get as much insanity as Pendle did, but yeah, I think it's still like a great match for Sandglass. All right, question number two. What is your take on Marinade's SAM? SAM, I forgot what it stands for. Stake auction market. SAM seems to offer additional yield for MSOL, but do you expect the yield to continually change over time, thus making it good for speculators to trade more on SandGlass? I don't think it will change much over time. I think it'll increase to a certain point, and then that will be like the approximate equilibrium, and then it won't move much from there. SAM is actually something I talked to Marinade about, like, about how long ago? A year or maybe more ago. And yeah, I told him like this is like sort of the end game for staking, in particular with respect to validator commissions, because when you can compete for stake, then like it's basically like a race to the bottom in terms of commission fees, and that wasn't the case until now. So like you can change your commission, but that didn't like really affect how much stake you got, not by much. So but with this it's different, because it's like if you lower your fees essentially, then you can get more stake. So yeah, I think this will, at least within Marinade's ecosystem, like essentially create a race to the bottom in terms of validator commission. And that is obviously good for people staking with Marinade, because that means they get more yield. That's why it increases. But yeah, I don't think like once you reach the equilibrium, I don't see like many things really changing that. Right, question number three. What is the impact of the recent changes made by Solana Foundation regarding commission cap for validators? And will this impact SandGlass? I don't think it affected us at all. Like we do receive a delegation of stake from the Solana Foundation. Like Lifinity Validator is like part of their program. But yeah, basically doesn't affect us, and as far as I can tell, I don't see why it would impact SandGlass. I mean, like, obviously, there's some, like, it'll, minorly change the distribution of steak. So, like, there are those effects, of course, but I think they're, like, quite small. So, yeah. Nothing really meaningful as far as I can tell. Okay, question number four. So far, how would you evaluate Sunglass's success? How far is the current trading volume compared to your expectation at the start of Sunglass? Sunglass is not yet successful. The vast majority of TVL on it is just our own. There's still little demand to trade the yield of LSTs, which is all we have right now. But yeah, I mean, I still remain confident because obviously Pendle has a lot of traction. So I don't see why there wouldn't be the same on Solana. I mean, it's kind of like imagine back to the time when there was only Uniswap on Ethereum and it didn't exist on Solana. Like, it would be kind of crazy to think that the same thing wouldn't work on Solana. Like, it's just basic finance stuff. Maybe not basic, intermediate finance stuff, but like, it's a giant market in TradFi too, so that's another data point. But yeah, I mean, we certainly haven't reached quote unquote success yet. We're just getting started. I'm not sure I really had an expectation, like, okay, X months after we've launched, how much volume will we have? I didn't really think like that. I knew that, like, it would probably be slower than, like, Lefinity, for example. And I think, I mean, we've also mentioned this in the our introductory articles, but, like, we're bootstrapping a new market here, which is not the case with Lefinity. Like, in with Lefinity, there's already, a vibrant spot market on Solana. But other than us, there is no yield trading market. There were even some competitors, supposedly, but they seem to have disappeared. I don't know. So we're still the only player in the game. But yeah, I think, like, basically people love big price movements and big yields, right? And the reason things worked out really well on Pendle was because there was the points craze. Like, that was a large factor for sure. So yeah, the question is, like, where can we find big APY movements that people would like to trade? Hopefully there's more points stuff. But even in the absence of it, like, for example, with JLP, there can still be some assets with pretty volatile APYs, so yeah, hoping those will work out well, but we'll have to see in the near future. Let's see. Then number five, can you give some rough estimates on Sunglass monthly revenue for the past 3 months? I actually haven't looked, but, like, really, it's not even worth looking, to be honest. Like, volumes are quite low. Like, people trade less than one soul per day in a given vault. So, and then our fee is 0.3%. So, yeah, I guess quite small. Yeah, right now it's just more about, finding PMF than it is counting the dollars in our fee accounts. But that time will come. if we are indeed successful. So, Lonfused asks, what is the impact for the Livinity course? Let's see, I'm not sure what you mean. Can you elaborate, Lonfused? You posted the image of our July liquidity enhancement. If you're talking about like, or was it you earlier who asked about something related to buybacks? Yeah, it was you. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if this is what you're referring to, but just to explain for people who may have missed this development, instead of the buybacks, the portion that was used for buybacks is simply now distributed instead. So it goes to VE Livinity holders. Then there is a quote-unquote buyback allocation, but we don't do market buys like we used to do. That's the portion that went to added to the distribution. But 20% of revenue is used as concentrated liquidity between the current market price and the book value of Livinity. So that's what you see in the image, how much USDC we added as concentrated liquidity. When Livinity add the 124K in the pool? We add it each time we post these graphics. Or actually, I might be wrong on that. It might be, yeah, sorry, that is incorrect. We add the USDC when we distribute the revenue. So same timing as when you can claim your USDC each month. So that's the 25th of each month. I hope I answered your question. Let me know if I missed what you were trying to get at. All right, next, I got some questions from Promino about Livinity. Number one, why do we still have a ST Sol USDC pool? I thought Lido has decided to end ST Sol back in February. Yeah, they did. But ST Sol is still an asset, and as far as I know, like you get, like it's just Sol in a stake account. So it's not like you know, it becomes worth zero after February or something. The reason we still have a pool is because it can generate some fees. It's basically died down now, but there was a time, especially around February, before and after, where like there were some straggler SD Sol holders that needed to get out but probably didn't know how to unstake, or I guess especially when the website shut down after February, like it's even harder to figure out how to unstake. So then they're just going to trade, and there probably wasn't much liquidity other than our pool either, because you know there's no longer any Lido incentives for liquidity. So yeah, I think we were and are a major liquidity hub for SD Sol, especially given our concentration. Yeah, so we were definitely able to generate some good fees as well as market making profit. You can see it from the SD Sol chart. I think, you know, that's mostly gone and done now. But even, yeah, I mean, like throughout this whole period when we did have the pool open, it was always like a tiny amount of liquidity, because that's really all we needed to like facilitate the vast majority of trades. I think it was like 75K right now, 78, something like that. So yeah, it's not like we're like wasting capital in a place where it shouldn't be or anything. And it's also like it's sort of an easy pool for us because it just uses a Sol Oracle, which we use heavily. So it doesn't like require the creation of like unique custom whatever. Anyways, yeah, I think you get the idea. Number two, will we have a pool that utilizes PYUSD in the future? Especially seeing how PYUSD TVL on Solana is almost equal to USDT TVL on Solana. I'm thinking of Sol PYUSDC pool. Yeah, so you probably missed it, but at the beginning of this AMA, I mentioned that we've begun reaching out to PayPal. We're not in touch yet, but yeah. There's probably potential, and they seem pretty open to incentivizing things, so that would make it all the better. All right, question number three. Will we have new LST pools? For example, INF USDC, Jupsol USDC, or even SSOL USDC? Yeah, there's certainly possible. It's basically always just a matter of volume. Like, yeah, I think INF USDC probably will make a lot of sense. Jupsol also possibly. I'm not sure which one of those has more volume, actually. Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, definitely open to more LST pools. I think how well those pools do is often tied to incentives. So like right now you see JitoSol does the most volume among our LST pools. And that's because they incentivize their liquidity the most. So they have the most liquidity, which means more liquidity for us to arb against. So yeah, if there's incentives, it usually gets especially good for us. Question number four. Do you have any ideas on what new pools to open since we're no longer dependent on Pith as an oracle? I mean, like, the most straightforward ideas are probably BTC and ETH, but I don't think those are like, yeah, I mean, I mentioned this earlier in the chat someday, but like they're just not very value generative. People just don't trade much ETH or BTC on Solana. which kind of makes sense, but other than those, like it's basically keeping an eye out for occasionally newly launching tokens if they're simultaneously if they're simultaneously launching on SEX and a DEX, then like we've been able to play those opportunities well a couple times. I think it worked especially well for Jupe. You can kind of see it in our stats chart for the Jupe pools. Just like tons of market making profit at the very beginning. But those aren't always possible. It's kind of dependent on like how exactly the launch is structured and stuff. Then other than that, even if we're not able to provide liquidity at launch, like if a token proves over time to have staying power and continually generate more volume, then that's, you know, a signal to us that it's probably a good opportunity here. There have been tokens where we've tried them and it just didn't work. Or it worked for a while until it didn't. Like Marinade's MNDE was one such case. We've tried Orca a couple times, but they're just like very different than Ray. I guess most of their volume is on dexes and not much on sexes. And yeah, there's been a bunch in the past. I mentioned Render earlier, which I forgot if that worked for a while, but we at least tried it for a good while. But yeah, it's no longer feasible. Yeah, so we're always open to ideas and we're always trying new stuff. Let's see. Question number 5. Have you changed your stance to not create JLP-related pools, especially JLP Sol pool, since it's consistently generating more volume than JLP USDC on Meteora? I might have to think about that some more. With regards to JLP Sol, I have to check, but I wonder what we would use as the source of the price of JLP. I think that could be a tricky part to that. But yeah, that's something I would like to talk with our devs about after this call. Yeah, because they in particular seemed to be convinced that like it's not feasible a while ago, or also that it's like a bit risky, as JLP was like not as mature back then. So yeah, the devs may have a different view on it now too. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I'm gonna check in with the devs after this. Yeah, well, that's all the questions I see in the chat right now. Does anyone have any other questions? So we have a couple listeners on Twitter as well. We got Parth. I recall you wrote a legendary Twitter thread. Alright, well, everyone seems quiet, and you know, I am totally okay stepping away as my throat is dead. But, yeah, thanks for all the great questions again, everyone. A lot of hard hitters. And, yeah, let's look forward to what we can release on SoundGlass. Starting probably with JLP. That should be fun. Alright guys, have a good rest of the morning or day or night, wherever you are. See you guys in the chat. Peace out.